This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
Don't let anyone limit your dreams just because you're a girl or you're different.
Broad. This is Sonia here for Broad on Joy 94.9, and Melbourne Writers Festival is still going strong. We've had some great people that we've chatted to, and we're going to talk to some more amazing people. Well, one person in particular, Aliza is here, and she's going to have to help me. Aliza Avitri Handayani.
Yes, good. Very good.
Wow. I'm amazed at myself. Thank you so much and welcome to Broad.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
So, Aliza, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, how it all began for you? And I mean, of course, the experience of winning a national writing, I guess, was it an award at such a young age, at 16, in Indonesia?
Mm.
Wow. It hasn't stopped for you.
Oh, well, I've just always been writing. I've been writing ever since I was a child, really. It's just something that I'm drawn to. So I've just been writing stories in school, in class, just whenever, you know, you're bored with the lesson. And so
that doesn't say much for the education.
No. Oh, there's so much to say about that. But that's a different story.
Yeah, that's another book.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of challenges because, you know, growing up as a girl, for me, I'm always being told that, you know, this is what you got to be if you're a girl. You have to be nice. You can't play outside. You can't climb trees. Don't play with the boys. Keep your head down. Things like that. And I can't do that. I was like, why? I'm always, you know, why should I do this? Why can't I climb trees? I love climbing trees. I love walking outside and jumping from roof to roof and things like that. And, you know, I mean, if my parents had said that, you know, because we care about you, we don't want you to get hurt, I would have listened more. But what they told me was just, you know, you can't do it because you're a girl. And I'm like, why? I was born as a girl and I happen to love being a girl. But I don't see that should limit what I can or cannot do. So, you know, writing become that kind of escape for me to just imagine myself in this all these wonderful adventures that children love to go, you know, children love to have. And I would just write down my imaginations. But for a long time, I never showed them to anyone because I thought, you know, that's secret. That's no one's going to like it. No one's going to support that kind of way of imagination or thinking. So I just kept them to myself for a really long time until I saw that announcement for the writing contest when I was 16. And I thought, no, what the hell, let's just try send them something. So I sent them something and then I won first prize. It really came as a shock for me. I didn't expect it.
What was it that you wrote? Can you tell us some?
Oh, no, it was so long ago. It was this kind of sci-fi adventure story. It was a boy and a girl, and there's this secret mystery facility outside of their village, and they're curious and they sneaked in, and it was something with like alien experiment or something.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. Sounds like the next Netflix show. Excellent. Imagination. So I guess for you, imagination was a place you could do the things internally that you couldn't do, obviously, as a girl.
Right.
That's hard to be told. You can't do this and this and this because of your gender.
And your friends, like the boys, they could do everything you wanted to do, and it just didn't seem fair to me.
And so that was it.
Yeah, on top of that, you know, when I was growing up, Indonesia was under this authoritarian regime. So, you know, everybody knew about the lies the government told, but then we also have to, like, live with it. We have to, like, publicly acknowledge it. We can't talk about it publicly because, like, we all know, like, it's either conform or get into trouble. It also felt very limiting in terms of, like, possibilities of what you can be, I felt, when you're growing up. So a lot of the things that I wanted to do, I thought I couldn't because it's just not possible. Everybody had to be uniform. You have to, like, there's a lot of limitations in terms of what you can publish as well, what you can write about. So
is that still the case? Very, you know?
Luckily, no. So I think when I was in high school, there was this huge, massive student protest. So that was in 98. Mm-hmm. The student protest finally brought down the president at the time, the dictator at the time, and then it was the start of democratization. So after then that, we have free elections, we have freer press, much freer publishing industry. So
must have been pretty difficult before that.
Yes.
Like, you know, very oppressive.
Right. And that became the subject of my novel, the one that is published last year and is being promoted now at the festival. So it's called From Now On, Everything Will Be Different. And it follows this young man and young woman who came of age during that student protest movement. And like me, they grew up feeling repressed and they were told you have to hide who you are, be like everybody else. And then suddenly this revolution happened and they felt there's so much new possibilities, there's so many new freedoms. And suddenly they felt, oh, maybe now it's possible for us to stop living in hiding, to stop pretending and just come out and try to live honestly as who we want to be. So the story is about them, you know, testing their new freedoms, but also figuring out what it is they want to do with their new freedom. And when you have all these new options, you have to decide where do you want to go. And to answer that question, you have to figure out who are you really. So it's a search for freedom and identity.
However, on saying that, I'm just skipping the questions a bit here.
That's okay.
However, on saying that, You've had an experience where parts of what you talk about in the goes on in the book was censored, I believe, back in Indonesia. What was the issue there for them?
My novel, From Now On, Everything Will Be Different. It was I had passed. Actually, that sci-fi adventure, I turned that into a novel as well, and that one was censored by the publisher because they didn't want too many romantic scenes. They didn't want to see like teenagers kissing, things like that. So, and then they didn't want to discuss on that. They're like, well, you know, it's our company policy. That's it. So yeah, and so when I'm publishing my other novel, From Now On, Everything Will Be Different, I made sure that I put it in the contract that I get to say, I had the final say on the proof before it goes to print. And I felt like I couldn't do that with the bigger publishers. I didn't feel like I have enough bargaining power. Okay. So I went to a small independent publisher. So that was published uncensored. And then I got an Australian publisher, and the book came out in English. And then what happened was when we were going to launch it at the Ubud Writers Festival last year in Bali, there were problems there because there were many sessions about the 1965 mass murders, massive human rights violations in Indonesia. And there were sessions about that, and the local police didn't want us to talk about that tragedy. So they warned the organizers to cancel the sessions or they would withdraw the festival's permit. So the festival organizers canceled the sessions, and my book launch was one of the canceled sessions. Mm. Although it didn't talk about 1965, but it did talk about that other period that is also still very controversial in Indonesia, the 1998 period, because around the student protests, as the status quo government was very threatened, there were all these riots and lootings and rape that were, I think, of course, a lot of factors go into it. There's a lot of mass hysteria and provocations, but that some part of it is also, I think, is orchestrated.
Mm.
Yeah, just to create.
So
this,
maybe
to
corruption.
To create this fear, you know? So people don't go protesting on the streets again. Yeah. So
and look what will happen. Sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So and those tragedies are also still on. So it's still not officially acknowledged, and a part of that is in my book as well.
Right.
And my book has a lot of sex in it too. So
watch out. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that probably won't change you, though. I mean, can it be sold in Bali now, the book? Or
Yeah, the book can be sold. Yeah. It's just they didn't want people talking about these issues
around it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I did when I heard about my book launch was going to be cancelled, I printed excerpts of my novel on T-shirts, and then I wore the T-shirts to the festival as means of protest.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you distribute any of the T-shirts? Or
Oh, yeah, actually. While we're on this subject, I want to say that after the Bali Festival, there has been a lot more incidents of attacks and forced cancellations of discussions.
Just in Bali?
All over Indonesia.
I was thinking that because actually, on Broad a few weeks ago, we had an Australian woman who had spent time in Indonesia.
Mm.
And she was at a feminist festival. It was a small weekend. Thing.
I was there too. Yeah,
that was you were there too, and they got kind of taken over and trapped inside the building. Was that you were part of?
Oh,
that?
sorry. No, I was referring to the feminist festivals just this past weekend in Australia.
Okay.
So you were talking about a different thing. Sorry.
No, that didn't happen here in Melbourne. no, this was it would have been in April, I think, of this year. And they shut the whole thing down. It only lasted about a half a day. And then
Is it the punk hardcore festival?
That
I was there too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're everywhere. You're everywhere, Lisa. That's great.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a 2-day festival.
And then it was attacked. What was the name of that festival again?
Month.
My brain's melted. Sorry.
It's called Lady Fast.
That's right.
Yeah, Lady it's based Fest. On the Lady Fast, but it's they call it Lady Fast to show that women can act fast. And
I was got nothing to do with fasting. Starving yourself.
No.
Although that could have happened. You know, that was scary. So, Elizabeth, do you know Elizabeth Bree?
Oh, yeah, I met her there.
I had her on air, and it was fascinating, and it was so emotional, like, her talking about it, because she had been there, and it was so quite scary.
It was.
Were you scared, like, this would happen? I mean...
Yeah, I mean,
it seems like overkill, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's I mean, of course, the violence is frightening. I mean, you know, they wrecked the place and the police was there and they just stood by watching. But what's frightening is how easy you can like incite the crowd's anger, because like they don't know like what our festival's about and do you want to know what we're doing, and no they don't, they just think
I don't
that,
listen.
That it's all like we're all just troublemakers because you know you look like punk and you look different.
Oh yeah, and a whole bunch of women together is scary.
but I also want to highlight that we're not afraid to stand up anymore. Like before in my parents' generations, you know, you were told, oh, you can't talk about that. And, you know, people don't fight back. And now I think we can't go back to that. Mm. I think my generation, when there's something like this happen, we react to it. We held press conferences. We get the word out.
Yeah.
And right now, if I may.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm publishing an online series of banned literature and translation, just to protest incidents of like seizing of books and attacks on book discussions. So I'm doing a fundraising. It's on Kickstarter. So if you want to support that,
what's the address? It's
called. If you search banned literature and translation, so we're publishing.
Okay.
Works by writers who've been censored or persecuted, and we're going to translate it to Indonesian and English and other language.
Cool.
Yeah, and
that's campaign started.
Yeah.
How long is it going to run for?
It's like 45 days.
It's been
a week. So yeah.
Cool.
And I'm also selling my the t-shirts that I wore to protest my book launch to help fundraise. Right. Yeah, so if you see me around the festival, come up to me. And
did you reprint them, or are these the originals, unwashed and everything?
Yes, I have the originals, and I have reprints.
Don't wash them. It's more authentic. It's got her DNA on it. A little sweat patch somewhere, a bit of dirt, bit of pizza, pizza stains. No, seriously. Oh, that sounds amazing. We'll look that up. That Kickstarter campaign for the band Literature and Translation, and we'll put that on the Broad page. That's exciting.
Thank you so much.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
Look, great idea.
Mm.
And also getting access, because there's so little that we know down here about what is happening up there. And
it's not just the writers from Indonesia, it's also from other countries as well.
Yeah.
So I'm also learning a lot about how it is to write and to publish in countries like China or Cuba. And
this will hopefully stimulate perhaps more writers to come forward.
And more conversations between the countries.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's been a very exciting thing, is to know about the punk music scene and the women's music scene in Indonesia. We're very excited about it, because I was just looking at some of the video footage, what little there was, and I was like, this is amazing. It's so exciting. It's so inspiring, particularly that what you're up against. And hopefully we'll see more of you tour Australia or something.
I'm continuing to Sydney and Adelaide after Melbourne, so I'll spend 2 more weeks in Australia.
Cool, excellent. So today at 5:30, today being Saturday the 3rd, you're involved in another panel discussion at the Melbourne Writers Festival. You're at an independent one. This is the Writing Indonesia and Australia?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting event too.
Yeah, I think so. So it's there's this series being published. It's by Indonesian and Australian writers writing about identity, how they see their identity. Yeah, I think it'll be an exciting conversation.
Because like the diaspora, I guess some Indonesian people living outside of Indonesia.
Yeah, I think
is there a network there?
Yeah, I think that's what we'll see coming to the session. Well, I'm based in Jakarta, and I think there's another contributor who is an Indonesian living in Australia.
Oh, cool.
And also Australian writers, and I think Alice Pung is also contributing to
series.
So
that's fabulous. Yes. Yeah, so do you feel that engagement so far with other Indonesian writers, is that something that you think is gathering momentum and building those relationships?
In Indonesia?
I'm not going to say, ex-Indonesians. Well, people living outside of Indonesia.
In Australia?
Yeah.
I haven't met a lot of them. I mean, I've only been here for several days, but I met some who came to the sessions. But yeah, you just came to me afterwards But I haven't had I don't know enough. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't know so much about
the
community here. But
band,
maybe after the session,
and after the session,
I'll know more. I hope.
Well, it's been a great the Melbourne Writers Festival has certainly had a lot of diversity, and that's really important. And one of the other speaking engagements you did last week when the Feminist Writers Festival was on, so I couldn't make this one, but it was Muslim Feminism, Protest and Rebellion. Muslim Feminism, I should say. I'll have to edit that. But that was with Shakira Hussein
and Monique Tui.
Monique Tui, I haven't met her yet. But what was that? How did that one go?
Oh, I think that one, it was very interesting for me to hear they're struggling with in Australia, being my Muslim minority countries. And I remember Shakira said something about the difficulties it is in speaking up about their concerns, problems in the community. They have to be presented in a certain way that the media won't, and then turn what they say into something that reinforces the stereotypes about the Muslim community.
Yeah.
So you have to thread that fine line between speaking up and not wanting the media to use it against you, I guess.
Yeah, that's a thing. We interviewed Shakira a couple of weeks ago, and that was something that she was mindful of, which must be incredibly daunting and exhausting to be, you know, the person, the go-to person.
Right, right.
And the person that is the provoker or seen as that. And
I mean, of course, you can bring the voice of your community, but at the same time, you are an individual.
You're still an individual,
right?
Yeah.
And you have your perspective and other people have theirs. And they really need there to be more representation,
exactly.
Not just like one go-to person. Yeah.
It happens. It happens a lot in Australia in particular, culturally.
Mm.
If you're an Indigenous woman or something and you're a journalist or whatever, there's one, you know, maybe there's two. And so they just get bombarded for good and for bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're honoured and they're happy and they want to be.
Yeah.
They're the person that has asked the questions. But at times they just don't have their own space for themselves anymore.
Right, right.
And I spoke to one woman in particular, I said, I do not envy you because everyone goes to her.
Mm.
What do you think about this? What do you think about the riots in Kalgoorlie? What do you think about feminism in Indigenous communities? And so she gets everything because it's so few.
Yeah.
And still.
Yeah.
And it's 2016.
Yeah. And it can be very infuriating, you know, when someone said, oh, what is the Indonesian perspective on this? We have like more 250 million people.
Yeah.
I can't just say what's the Indonesian. I can say like my perspective. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. It's a tough one. But you're a writer. Obviously, it's, you know, those are words that are important and what you try to get through. I mean, you use fiction. So I guess that gives maybe a little bit more flexibility, perhaps.
I'm glad you asked that because there's something I want to say at the protest and rebellion session, but we ran out of time.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, go for it.
So, you know that sometimes during campaigns you want to get the largest amount of supporters. So often you kind of simplify the issue, or you would shine the spotlight on the so-called perfect victims. Like, for example, if you're campaigning against sexual abuse, sexual violence, you would put up the case of the child who were raped by strangers.
Mm.
You wouldn't put as your poster girl the girl who got drunk and who maybe like making out with her rapist who later she didn't want to have sex with, for example. And art and literature can show the stories of the imperfect victims, you know, make sure that their voices are heard too, and really make us see the issue in more complex, like layered terms. That's why I like working with fiction, because because you have that space to really go through not only talking about the issue in broad terms, but to really zoom in on the individual and to examine, you know, how they are as persons, you know, living every day, living their lives, dealing with, you know, whatever issues they're dealing with, either you know, trying to break out of very limiting gender norms and trying to just live honestly as yourself.
Mm.
And I mean, what does it mean to this person? And then what does that mean to that other person? You know, and so it allows you to be very deep and also be very to explore different personalities.
Mm. Yeah. It's more of a multifaceted side, and at the end of the day it's entertaining hopefully. It can be very serious entertaining,
right,
too.
Right, of course.
But at the end of the day, again, it's the perception of, I guess, the person who reads, what they understand of that, and translation. You know, people always say to me, oh, well, it's written in that book, so that's from a Spanish writer or a Japanese writer, you're not getting the full 100% translation. Do you think that is true for your work, or does that matter how much we get?
I mean, of course it matters. And as writers, you know, we're always trying to be very clear. But of course, each reader will have their own, bring their own feelings and thoughts and experiences into reading a work. And when your work is translated, and that, yes, there's distance, but I think a good translation, you know, really gets where the author is coming from, what they're trying to say, and then try to, as best as possible, represent that author in a new cultural and lingual context. So, I don't know. Like, so it captures kind of the soul of it. Sometimes it's not the most literal translation, of course. For example, you know, if this person were Australian, how would she said it? And then a good translator gets that and can replicate that author's voice in the new target language voice.
That must be a hard job.
It's very hard. Yes, I have a lot of respect for translators.
I don't think about that when I read.
Yeah, and often they don't get credit.
Yeah, when you read some, I've read a lot of literature from Spain, and you know the translations of people like Gabriel Garcia Marquez and. Mm. And, yeah, sorry, I just don't think about it, really. Mm, mm. That's how good they are.
Yeah, yeah.
They're so good at their job, you don't have to think about it.
But if it's a bad translation, and then the translators get
one of the
blame.
Worst translations I've ever come across. It actually wasn't a book. It was a film.
Mm.
And it was a Spanish film, actually. And the subtitles you could tell they just did not match at all. And in some cases, you could see the persons, they were speaking to each other for a good 30 seconds before one line subtitle would come up and go, no, something's happening. This person doesn't know Spanish or something, or doesn't know English, and I just gave up.
And it ruined your enjoyment.
Yeah,
of
it was a DVD, and I just never finished it because... Oh. I just knew I wasn't going to get anywhere with it. And I thought,
that's too
okay.
Bad. Yeah, and
I
that's
could
why.
Learn Spanish maybe and go back to it. I'm too lazy.
Well, that's why the translator's work is so important. How
I
else
bet they
are
got
we?
Fired. I hope they got fired. It's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how else are we going to have these conversations,
exactly.
You know, with people who don't speak the same languages? And we need to have those conversations. And
it's important.
Yeah,
really.
We live, like, our countries are our neighbors, and we need, and it's important to.
And Australia does
it's
have that.
It's enriching also,
that
to
issue.
Know what's, what writers here are writing about. And then it breaks down our perception of, like, we were just talking about, there's just, like, this one person who's like, representing the community.
Yes, yeah.
And, like, if you just read, if we read more, then you know not only...
Hopefully more.
Yes,
about
more. Yeah. And so you don't so there's not going to be a go-to person, but then you can find out yourself by, like, all these different voices.
Yes.
Writing.
And collect them. Research.
In books. Yeah. And then you get a deeper, fuller view.
Yeah, that's very important. It's significant, I think, today. We've got this very faster world, apparently, and global world, and connected with social media, technology. But still, so many things can be lost in translation. So many people can misunderstand the simple things and not get it, you know? And it's like, that must be frustrating.
Yeah, and with social media, you know, with instant, and often, you know, it's just things that goes through your head, and maybe you don't really think about possible ramifications, and probably leads to that too. I'm just rambling on.
No, it's good rambling, I'm telling you, it's great. Well, actually, that's the end of the questions got written here, but because Aliza, we are a feminist radio show.
Yes.
Do you have any messages or anything you want to say to any people out there, or women, of course, and men, and others who might be listening, and feminism and what it means to you?
Oh my God! I think it means a lot to me. Yeah, I was asked at a bookshop at a show at an event at a bookshop. So, and they said that people coming in and they're wondering, like, so what do you think are feminist books? You know, and I don't think it has to be a genre, right? I think. How can a book be feminist? I think it comes from the spirit, from the spirit that the author has, you know, whether he or she or they have this, do they support the view of, like, you can do anything regardless of your gender. And that spirit kind of bleeds into what they write. So I don't think it's a genre, like you know, fantasy or romance or things like that. I mean, it can be in any genre, but it can be feminist if it has that spirit of complicating the roles of women that we often see, seeing the women characters as, you know, fully fleshed human beings and not just conforming to the types or the stereotypes that we have around. It's very important to me, and I think I find it in across genres. And what message do I want to say? I don't know. I guess just don't let anyone limit your dreams just because you're a girl or you're different.
No, I like that. Now, before I do let you finally go, because it's been long one, sorry about that.
No,
I've been keeping
right.
you
I'm
because
sorry,
you're
I'm
so
just,
good.
I've just been rambling on, though. Do I say hi?
Whatever you like. It's fine.
Hi, I'm Eliza Fitri Handayani. I'm a novelist from Indonesia, and I'm here on Broad on Joy 94.9.
Perfect.
Is that good?
Perfect.
Okay.
So many other people just get it wrong. I had a guy go once, and you're listening to Joy on 94.9. It's not a dot, it's a point.
It's a point, okay.
That's cool. He got it, though. But look, thank you so much for speaking to us, Eliza.
Oh, thank you so much
wonderful.
For having me.
Good luck with everything, and I look forward to some more books.
Thank you.
From you. Mm. More T-shirts. Why not? And, of course, good luck with the Kickstarter for Banned Literature and Translation.
Thank you so much, Lania, for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.